Hello, I'm Marina Bolfan, Enterprise Sales Lead at InfoPip, and I'm delighted to host another episode of the PIP Gurus podcast series, where we are joined by industry experts to unpack everything tech-related in the customer experience space and more. Today, I'm joined by the head of customer experience, Ms. Jennifer Umarkulu, from one of Nigeria's leading hospitality industries, the Transcorp Hilton Hotel based in Abuja, to discuss more about building a customer experience framework for a thriving travel and hospitality industry. From my own perspective and experience so far, there has actually been a major shift towards service excellence by most global organizations, and this shows that customer experience is starting to be and now is a must-have, and no matter the size of an enterprise, being a small or large one, customer experience is a discipline that is now being embraced. Following this, I would like to actually put you on the spot, Jennifer. I'm probably aware that you were asked this question many times, but would you tell us a bit about yourself and how was your journey into the customer experience field?
Oh, my journey. Okay. It's a very natural one, actually. But a bit about myself. My name is Jennifer Umarkulu. You pronounce it as Umar. It's a U-M-A without an R.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. There is that mix up a lot. So I journeyed into customer experience, like I said, very naturally. When I started my career after university, I mean, I read a science course in school, but I jumped into banking and I got customer facing roles, sales roles. And usually I figured that one of the things that stood out for me was, you know, creating, in the words of Jean Blaise now, fewer ruined days for the customers. I really wanted to do that. It was drive for me every day. So naturally, I pivoted. I just gravitated that way. So, I didn't even know what I was doing at the time. And I just wanted to make every customer that came into, that had an interaction with me, to have a better day, to make sure that they got value for whatever they were paying for. And I made it easier and enjoyable and their needs were met, you know. So that's always been my mantra. But getting to the profession itself was really, why I say it's natural, somehow, did I say fate or coincidence, somehow I went into a company who at the time in the company, they were transforming. It was an old bank that wanted to, you know, rebrand. And I love the approach the bank used. They did an all-round rebrand, not just, you know, the physical stuff. They also went into a culture change drive. They did a lot of things. And they brought on this company called Bain & Co. And Bain & Co. was the company that was driving the customer experience and rebranding, so to speak, you know. And I closely worked with those guys and watched what they were doing. And I knew instantly that this is what I wanted to do. They were doing it a very large scale. Bain & Co. is a very respectable company all over the world. And they were doing it a large scale. And I felt, oh, okay, this is what I want to do with my life, you know. I could, you know, make the lives of people better on a large scale. And that's what customer experience management is all about. It's not just one customer, a team member, or a staff. It's an entire strategy, right, that helps you create better experiences for your customers at scale. So that was my journey. That's my journey this way. And for me, again, it's a bit personal. It's a lot personal than this. I come from Africa, and Nigeria in particular, and I believe that one of the reasons why we don't have second and third generation businesses is because we've not really understood the importance of customer experience, managing customer experience, right? It's even the companies who get it right or who have gotten it right, some companies who've gotten it right, it's really an add-on or a nice to have, and not really, for them, it's not a business imperative. And for me, it is. It should be. So for me, it's, you know, one company at a time, you know, it's Transcorp Hilton today and one small business at a time, just helping transforming the culture of customer experience in my continent, in my country. So that's what drives me. And yeah, that's why I do what I do from a personal perspective. And it's very fulfilling, Marina. It's very fulfilling for me once beyond the service calls and all that. But just hearing that a lot of customers come back and say, "Hey, my experience is better with your company," and all that, it's quite fulfilling. I can't even describe it really.
Yeah, thank you, Jennifer. I do believe when you receive positive feedback and when your customers actually come back for more, let's say, this really brings for you, like positive results in the end and for the whole company. And as I have also started working in the customer experience field and I'm working on the Nigerian market for several years now, I also see some improvements on that field for the past year or two, which actually is showing that also the Nigerian companies and the whole market in Africa is streaming more towards customer experience, and that they have recognize, as you mentioned, the importance of every single customer that is using either your service or your product. So it's really, really an interesting input from your side, Jennifer. Thank you. And as you mentioned, like you were working at a bank and there were some changes happening which pushed you in the customer experience sector. This also shows how important changes are not only in the life of an individual, but also in business entities and even the nations. As we have seen, like you always have to be prepared on what is upcoming on the market or in the situation that happened like 3 years ago where we had COVID. There was a total market transformation in each and every way. So this kind of brings me to the next question. Do you see any kind of, let's say, changes in the state of customer experience pre- and post-COVID era industry that you're working in? And how is this also going to change the approach to customer experience within the travel and hospitality industry going forward?
Marina, thank you. And that's a great question, really. Before COVID, I think a lot of companies really focused on the hard stuff, I like to say. The basically team members into or I like to say customer facing team members interaction. So dealing with contact centers and dealing with front desk and all that. They really wanted to get that right, make sure the ambience of the company is right. Some companies both in the hospitality industry and in other industries, banking and so forth. We're thinking about becoming more innovative and driving digital and or becoming more digitized. But, it was at a slow pace. So when COVID came, and I like to say that COVID changed everything. It brought us into the future. And it's a difficult. It was a very difficult time for businesses. For us in hospitality, it was wrecking. It was a wrecking ball. Of course, you remember that governments had to shut down travel overnight. And travel is synonymous with hospitality, right? And when that happened, immediately we started feeling the impact of the pandemic. Some businesses had shut down, thousands and thousands and millions of people around the world lost their jobs. And it got companies thinking, right? How else do we do business? How else do we get to our guests? And it immediately brought forward the plans, those plans that we had put in the back burner for innovation, right? Implementation started. And that's it. And now, COVID created a brand new customer. Right? The customer's behavior is really different from what they were pre-COVID era. These days, the customers have always wanted things quicker and faster, but right now they want it safer. People are talking more about sustainability, how to make the world better and safer, the customers are now attracted to businesses who are doing that. So beyond even technology implementation or in driving innovation, even just the sustainability angle is an angle that is a game changer for a company. So post-COVID, the hospitality industry has a new face. We are still the core of hospitality, welcoming guests into hotels, into our airlines and all that is still the same, but we do it in a different way. You'd see now that the trends have changed. We drive more innovation. We drive things like personalization. Customers now are more willing to share their personal data than before. Before now, they didn't want to, but because we're offering things like AI, and machine learning and all that, they want to participate. They want to get the benefits of that. That way, they're willing to share more of their data. And hotels around the world are doing fantastic things when it comes to personalization, talk about facial recognition, for example. Customers are beginning to embrace that even more because there's less the way the virus was transmitted, it made the customer feel like they had to limit human-to-human interaction. So when we talk about contactless check-in in hospitality, well, that became a thing. Some companies, including my company, had started doing that before, but of course we had to scale. People have to scale. All around the world, the hotels are now doing contactless check-in, where a guest doesn't have to go to front desk to check-in. They just, you know, go to the room door and scan the QR code. Now, when we talk about things like communication is different. It's a lot more personalized. We've always had apps in hospitality where to help, you know, to stay connected with our guests every step of the way during their visit, before the visit, and afterwards. But now it's so tailor fit. I mean, we said we did that before, but now it's even better. You know, it's easier for us to communicate, and even the customers or the guests to communicate with us, you know, in this industry. So when we also service automation and marketing, all that, you know, has changed post-COVID. For service automation, I know people haven't embraced, I'm from Africa, we're yet to get on the robots and all that, but that's going to happen. And we are excited about it, really, to see cash-free purchasing, keyless, hands-free room entry and all that, you know. It's important. It's a game changer for us in our industry to become more innovative, more technologically driven and all. It's very, very interesting stuff happening now. It's just brought the future to the present. That's the way I see COVID. It was a terrible blow. It was a bad time, but did it make our lives a bit different, maybe in a positive way? I mean, I don't like to say it about COVID, but sometimes, you know, for businesses, it's changed. And with innovation, sometimes it's difficult because even you deal with the same, some of the issues you had pre-COVID, you know, things around culture, which is still a very foundational part of customer experience. And you're dealing with the same team members or the same employees who worked with you pre-COVID, educating them and letting them know that things have changed and getting them to embrace that. That constant organizational change management happening in the company is so important. And that's, for me, one of the challenging part, you know, getting the people to, you know, embrace this new life. You know, sometimes just holding on to the old stuff is more fun for people. Change can be difficult. So usually I'd advise people like to have an organizational change management program constantly, because change is constant. So don't wait till you want to innovate or you want to bring in a new technology before you bring in an organizational change expert. In fact, it should be a role in your company. That's what I encourage. Not everybody will embrace that, but I'll encourage that, you know. So yeah, interesting times ahead, really, for us in hospitality and for all the businesses around, really.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on this with you, Jennifer. Thank you. And as you mentioned, COVID brought some, in another way, future to the present. And this is what is happening not only in the travel and hospitality industry, but in all industries all over. So this is something that I can see that a lot of companies that I'm working with have, let's say, totally adjusted their strategies of customer approach during this time. As you mentioned, customers are a little bit more open-minded and ready to perform certain actions from home. And as you mentioned, you now have all information about your customers, which you need to use in the correct, in the way that you will have positive results and positive input from the end user of your customers. So even though, as you mentioned, COVID did brought us some difficult times, some difficult period, but still the market has taken the most of it in a positive way. And I think that, as you mentioned, some things have happened a little bit faster than they would maybe if there was no COVID crisis happening. But maybe this was also something recognized from the companies. And let's say in some crisis, there are great opportunities that companies react in even in a better way than if some planning and strategies were prolonged for a longer time. So anyway, strategy is, I would say, a key to any kind of innovation within not only travel and hospitality industry, but all industries overall. So I know that you have already mentioned something about innovation and the importance of innovation, but how important is incorporating a strategic framework for innovation within the industry? And what is the impact of this to an enhanced customer experience?
Oh, that's Oh, Marina, you're hitting me with all the questions today. Thank you again. That's a lovely question. The importance. So I see this framework as a roadmap. If we're to travel from, if you wanted to travel from, I'm going to use the cities in my country, for example, from Abuja to Lagos. You definitely, no matter the mode of travel you want to use, you need some kind of roadmap, or else you will just probably get on the road and go to a totally different place. So having a framework, having this map in place helps guide the entire team. Everybody knows where we're going to. It's so important. I can't even stress that enough. It just lays out guidelines, best practices, you know, operating principles for us to achieve the objectives that we set out to achieve as a business. And and I say as a business, I'm talking about the corporate goal. Now, for the customer experience goal, it's same thing, right? So we know where we are as is, customer experience-wise, and we know where we want to get to. And that journey, we design it with a roadmap. You know, we know it's, we're going from before to after and then on, you know. So that's the importance of framework. I don't know if I got the question correct.
I do believe you have. So thank you. Thank you. As you mentioned, planning is same as leads us to strategy. So to be from one point in the present to another point in the future, you have to have a clear roadmap of what you want to achieve, and even, let's say, predict the obstacles that may appear on the Absolutely. On the way in the future, so that you can know the next moves of your clients and customers before Absolutely. They even realize what they want yeah. to achieve or what need they want to accomplish. So I do agree with you that you always have to take, let's say, the bigger picture mm-hmm. and to focus not only on one goal or on one obstacle, Absolutely. But take everything into consideration to serve your clients in the best positive way, which in the end lead to an enhanced customer experience.
Absolutely. That's correct. You know, in putting that together, you want to consider several angles. You know, first, the customers, of course, and your employees, and the community in which you're working, your shareholders, and the society at large. When putting that framework together, make sure that all those bases are covered. It really helps, you know, in ensuring that the guest or the customer gets the full experience, a better experience, that your entire customer experience strategy covers all. And basically, that's what I think with a framework.
Mm-hmm. I agree completely with you. Actually, I read a recent blog on Customer Experience Network, and there were some facts highlighted evidencing that return on investment has long been a continuous issue for customer experience practitioners who want to, let's say, show the value of customer experience to high-level executives. And for most conversations that I actually had with C-suite executives within the industry, will bring me to my last question. What key checklist should digital leaders in the travel and hospitality business tick before embarking on a project that will drive more much needed return on investment when we look from customer experience perspective?
Oh, Marina, thank you again for this question. Good question. What are the things to check off? You know, when you're talking about stakeholders and C-suite executives and justifying CX improvement projects, yeah, it's sometimes it's been one of our greatest challenge to be able to explain or connect the return on the investment and the investments itself. Yeah. But we've all now, I think we're learning to speak the language that executives understand, which is the dollar sign, right? You yeah. speak that language, they would listen. They would always listen. And that takes me to my first point in the checklist. The first point for me is strategic and executive alignment. There's an entire framework by some gentleman that I listened to, Eric Kimberlin. He had fantastic framework for this. The first step is strategic and executive alignment. This applies to CX. one of your greatest, the most important part of my job or the job of any CX executive is stakeholder management. Now you have to have a large stakeholder map mm-hmm. that, you know, you understand who your stakeholders are and what the expectation and what are they looking for and how to work with them, right? So whether it's in or proposing an executive boot camp or some strategy and some strategy sessions, or you know, to articulate your project strategy and all that, you want to get your stakeholders involved. And of course, there's something I like to encourage people to do, CX executives. On your checklist, make sure you know who your sponsors are, right? I mean, you literally have to be in bed with them. Sorry, that sounds crazy, but no, I don't mean it like that. But you get what I mean, right? Yeah. You have a sponsor who is in management. They will own the CX project for you and drive it down. That is so important. As a CX person, you're really just the glue that puts the program together. So that's the first thing for me on the checklist. Who are my stakeholders? Do I have the executive? Do I have executive alignment? And second one is operational readiness. This also applies with innovation and technology innovation. And of course, when it comes to technology innovation, it's really about customer experience, because you're innovating or you're implementing technology to improve the experience for the customer. So for operations, you want to look at how ready are we? You know, so do an assessment. Where are we? How ready are we for this, and prepare for it? You know, this opens things like you begin to see opportunities for training, hiring. It will show some operational gap after you've done some analysis, and the decisions you have to take, implementing new processes and procedures. Then you want to look at your people. How ready are my people? You know, is there a skill competency gap? Do we have a change team? Do we have to reorganize the structure of the organization? Do we have new roles coming up? For example, my role doesn't exist in a lot of companies, in a lot of companies in Nigeria, but it's coming up because they've done the analysis and seen that they need someone to anchor this. Then, of course, you want to look at how ready you are technology-wise. What are the applications you're using? How clean is your data? Have you done the mapping, governance, and all that, you know, all the fun stuff, you know, is there an IT skills competency gap, all that. Then, of course, project governance planning as well. So all that, it's just part of a huge list that you probably will have. You have it to be iterative. You will do this today, come back to it tomorrow. You know, it will be very interesting stuff. But basically, for me, all this has to be on your radar when you're embarking on this journey.
Yeah, I agree completely with you. Thank you, Jennifer. I have written a lot of what you have shared us during this podcast, but since we have the Global Customer Experience Day approaching, I think it's on the October 5th, just for us to close the podcast, I would appreciate if you could share us your most inspiring CX quote. So just for us to have something to remember you, let's say, to close this podcast.
Oh, the quote is not mine, and it's a very popular quote. My favorite, or the one quote that keeps me centered, is a quote from Sam Walton. He says that there is only one boss, the customer, and he can fire everybody in the company from the chairman on down simply by spending his money somewhere else. That's a quote that I focus on a daily basis, and it's helped me stay focused on the customer.
Thank you. I think that this quote is exactly what we need to close this podcast with this interesting customer experience subject. Thank you. Thank you very much, Jennifer. It was really inspiring, each and every sentence that you have mentioned from a start till now. So I do hope that for all of our listeners that the podcast has been enlightened, because I have learned a lot. I have even written some of your sentences so that I remember them when working with my clients and when working on projects. So let's mention that we have learned how to, the need to build a strategic CX framework to unleash innovation for competitive advantage and increase return on investment within the travel and the hospitality industry. I'm so glad that I had the chance to talk to you today, Jennifer. And I'm so glad that your name is actually brought up in the company for the last few months several times, because we already had some webinars recorded with you. So it's really great to have someone to share their experience, their input, their knowledge in this field, especially on an African market, on Nigerian market, where things are changing rapidly, but still a little bit more slowly than when we compare it to the rest of the world. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks once again, Jennifer, for joining us in today's BIP Guru podcast. And we all like to thank our listeners for joining us. Keep following our social media pages on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn for future installments of the BIP Guru's podcast series. Want to know more about InfoBIP and everything we have to offer? Check us out online at infobip.com. Also, feel free to mail any comments or suggestions to bipgurus@infobip.com. And remember, we are just starting. Goodbye.